Final hour here on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Looking forward to being at the Ford Ice Center in Antioch tomorrow, celebrating 615 Day and raising some good money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Tennessee. Head coach John Hines will join us tomorrow on site in the second hour. Looking forward to that. We'll have some great guests and some great conversations tomorrow at Ford Ice Center in Antioch. Kind of like what we're going to do right now with Adam Vingan from The Athletic. He now joins us. Adam, yesterday they made a signing that we can just start there. They made a trade. They made a trade at the deadline for Jeremy Lauzon, who was the defenseman, and they gave up a second-round pick, and a lot of people have questioned that since the season ended and questioned it at the time. Clearly they like him. He's still young. And they rewarded him yesterday with a four-year deal worth $2 million per year. What did you make of it?
Well, I was one of those people that questioned the move when it was made in March, just because a second-round draft pick for a third-pairing defenseman at best seemed too rich for my blood. And David Poile at the time, explaining his reasoning, said that Lauzon is younger. I believe he's 25. They figured that he could be a part of the defensive rotation for the next few years, which obviously they still believe because they signed him to a four-year contract. You know, personally, I don't like signing depth players to longer-term contracts. I feel like a player like Jeremy Lauzon, you know, maybe he's a 1 or 2 year deal kind of guy. You know, I wouldn't have signed him for 4 years. The cap number is I guess fine. $2 million isn't a ton of money, average, you know, annual average value. But you know, 4 years for a player whose profile isn't that impressive so far in his career doesn't seem like, you know, to me, a wise move. But then again, you know, who am I to say that I'm the smartest guy in the room, because I'm definitely not. But I would not have signed him to a 4 year contract. I thought that was too long. But then again, you know, we didn't really get a huge sample of Jeremy Lauzon in Nashville because he got hurt fairly early on. You know, what I did see was okay, I guess. You know, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, you know, once he actually gets into the lineup more consistently. But my initial reaction, I think, was maybe not as harsh as everybody else's, because, you know, the Predators were roasted on social media, not just here in Nashville, but around the NHL, for the length of that contract. You know, maybe I'm not as there as everybody else, but by and large, I was not a huge fan of the term of the contract.
Yeah, I know you have to back up giving up a second-round pick because people have questioned that as well, with a guy saying, hey, he's, you know, and David Poile has said from jump, like, this is not a short-term fix. So he's made it clear. He was already setting the tone that this thing was going to be, he was going to be here for the long haul. But to your point, I think people were still surprised. This is a four-year deal for a guy that really haven't seen a whole lot from. And so, look, there's a lot on the line for him. He's going to have to produce next year, and we'll see how that plays out. Certainly that's something you can ask John Hines about tomorrow at Ford Ice Center in Antioch. Well, tick-tock, tick-tock. You know where I'm going next. We're less than a month away. Yesterday was exactly a month away from the free agency period in the NHL, and there was a Philip Forsberg sighting Saturday at not Bridgestone Arena, but at Nissan Stadium at CMA Fest. I know you've seen the video. You've seen how that whole thing played out. What did you make of that? And what do you make of the situation? As I just said, it's now less than a month away.
Well, I'd like to start by saying, are either of you familiar with the concept of secondhand embarrassment?
Secondhand embarrassment.
Yes.
Okay, keep going. You have the floor. I want to hear where
you're
going. I think
I know where you're going, and
I want to hear
like,
this.
I feel like I've been there. I feel like I had
okay.
this.
Okay, so, Adam, explain.
secondhand embarrassment, I guess this is the best way that I can describe it. I can't watch other people in embarrassing situations. It makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
You know, so like when you're watching a television show and somebody's in an embarrassing situation and, you know, I have to turn the channel. I can't watch people in embarrassing situations. I'm being a bit exaggerating. I'm exaggerating a bit here. But what I'm saying is that video was so cringeworthy. I had a hard time getting through all of it because I felt embarrassed for Philip Forsberg. Not because of what he was doing, but because of the situation he was put in. I was mostly embarrassed by the MCs of, you know, I don't know who they are. You know, a lot of people come from out of town for CMA Fest, so I'm sure there were a lot of people in the stadium who had no idea who Philip Forsberg is. Them trying to get the chant going on, it just made my skin crawl. So I watched it once. And I couldn't bring myself to watch it again because it made me physically uncomfortable. So that's what secondhand embarrassment is.
Okay. And so, you know what? Now that you describe it and put it into words, Adam, I had the same feeling. I think it was okay until they started to do the chant. Then I was like, oh, I had the secondhand embarrassment at that point.
Well, I said yesterday, it's like, one, you know, there. It's well over 50%. I don't know what the numbers are, but this is such a huge event. People come in not only from all over the country, all over the world for this, right? And so there's a lot of out-of-towners in there in Nissan Stadium. 67,000, I think, is the number they threw out there on the microphone during that minute-and-a-half clip or whatever it was. But the first thing I thought of is maybe I didn't get as embarrassed as you guys, but I was like, why are you doing this to a bunch of out-of-towners? There's probably a massive amount of the people there that are like, who is this guy on stage? I don't even know who this is. I mean,
he didn't go up there saying, hey, look at me, I'm a hockey player. I thought in the situation, he did a great job. But once, if they'd have stopped there after he gave the toast, then I think we avoid the secondhand embarrassment.
No, I'm not talking about Philip. I'm talking about why would you, with the microphones, be leading a chant to people at a country music festival with a sports guy up there on stage?
I think the word that Adam used, the cringeworthy term, Adam, I think was dead on from that point on. That was cringeworthy.
Yeah, it was hard to watch. And look, I you know, it's the middle of June. You know, there are only two teams left playing right now. Free agency is a month away, and, you know, one thing that we all like to do is parse comments as much as we possibly can. So I know that people were listening to what he was saying and how he reacted to certain things and tried to draw conclusions about whether or not he's staying or going. I tried to get out of that business a long time ago. You know, I really made nothing of that whole situation other than the fact that I, you know, was like, you know, I was cringing, as I said before. You know, I felt really bad for Philip. So, you know, what do I make of that? Nothing. I think he was on stage. He was doing a solid for whoever asked him to do it, and it got awkward fast, and he got out of there as quickly as he could. But am I reading into anything that he said or didn't say? No, I don't think that's the right thing to do. I don't think you can figure out anything, decipher anything based on what he said or didn't say. And look, there are a lot of high-profile, pending, unrestricted free agents, not just Philip Forsberg, who have yet to sign new contracts. Johnny Gaudreau, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. There are other players in the same position. So the Predators are not alone among, you know, having a player, you know, of some renown, you know, not signed to a contract. You know, I think I said to Robbie and Joe either last week or the week before that if we get to July 1st, and as we know that, you know, July 1st is not free agency this year, it's July 13th, but if we get to July 1st and we haven't heard or uncovered any sort of, you know, progress, then I think you can start to get a bit concerned if you're a Predators fan hoping that the Predators re-sign Philip Forsberg. But between now and then, you know, I'm not really that concerned. I still think it's more likely than not that he comes back. But yeah, as we approach free agency less than a month away, it's gonna, was it Yogi Berra who said it's gonna get late early or early late? I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, it gets late early around here. That's I think between July 1 and 10 is probably the window where it's most likely to get done. I'd be surprised if because I think the urgency will really kick in, because that is when it gets late early. I think everybody will be feeling that at this point. Adam Vegan is with us from The Athletic. And, Adam, let's go to the article that you wrote, because I think it's interesting because it sort of lays out what are the options. What would you look at if you didn't have Philip Forsberg? And a couple of the names you put out there might be guys that you would even be interested in, even if you had Philip Forsberg in there. But the first one you put is David Pastrnak. I think that's a really interesting situation developing in Boston. And you laid out a proposed trade where the Predators would go for David Pastrnak. And I looked at the end of it. I agree with you that David Pastrnak is probably a better player than Philip Forsberg by, you know, not a huge margin, but he's better, and he is a little bit younger. But I think I came out of it saying, okay, it's good research, it's a fairly fair trade, but I don't know if I come out ahead if I'm David Poile, trading all of the assets it would take to take David Pastrnak, sign him to a probably bigger contract than it would take to take Philip Forsberg, keep Philip Forsberg. I think he'd probably come out ahead just signing Forsberg and keeping the assets.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. And to, you know, to explain to the listeners, my colleague in Boston, and you know, Fudu Shinzawa.
He's got a cooler name than you, by the way, Adam. I have to say, he's got one of the coolest names going.
He absolutely does, and he's just a cool dude in general. But
yes,
Fudo wrote a story. He's written a lot of stories in the aftermath of the Bruins season, Bruce Cassidy being fired, and all of that. And last week he wrote a story about David Pastrnak, who has 1 year left on his contract. And basically, Fluto's story was, you know, he reported that, you know, that the Bruins are going to try to re-sign Pastrnak, who's eligible for an extension on July 13th. But if Pastrnak has any reservations about re-signing with the Bruins, who appear to be at the start of a rebuild, even Don Sweeney acknowledged they might be undergoing what he called a directional shift, which is the Bruins' version of a competitive rebuild, that if Pastrnak has any reservations, that they really have no other option but to trade him. And Fluto said that, according to his reporting, The deal that it would probably take to get Pastrnak out of Boston would be a first and second round picks, a young NHL player, and a high end prospect. And you know, the hypothetical package I put together was the first and second round picks, Tanner Jeannot, and one of Zachary Leroux or Luke Evangelista, because I looked at the return for Jack Eichel, which it's not a perfect comparison, but the trade was basically the same. The Sabres got a top 10 protected first round pick, which ended up being the 16th pick in this year's draft, a second round pick, Alex Tuck and Peyton Krebs. And, you know, Tuck is more established than any of the Predators' young NHL players, specifically at forward, and Krebs was the Golden Knights' top prospect. So I presented that hypothetical trade to Fluto, and because I wanted to know what, you know, based on his reporting and his sourcing, if that would get it done. And he said it looked quote unquote reasonable. Now, you know, what's interesting about Pastrnak is, yes, you're right, Willie, that they would have to re-sign him to a contract that would absolutely be more than what Philip Forsberg would make. And one could argue it would be more than Roman Josi makes. I mean, I think you might even have to look at someone like Artemi Panarin as a comparable for David Pastrnak, especially if he has another good season. But this coming season, you would actually save against the cap, because Pastrnak has 1 year left on his deal at like 6.67 or something like that. So that's an interesting that's an interesting wrinkle in it all. But, you know, if the Predators are dead set on staying competitive and they lose Philip Forsberg, then making a splash like trading for David Pastrnak if he wants out of Boston is one way of doing it.
Yeah, and we're out of time, but I think the other two names you put out there, Valanciunas and Jesse Puljujarvi, are two very intriguing guys that even could fit with Philip Forsberg still in there. And I think those are guys to look at. I think we're all kind of making those lists on who might fit. There's a lot of guys out there. Adam, though, great stuff. I hope people check it out on The Athletic. And we'll talk to you again here very soon as we move on. And thanks for teaching us about secondhand embarrassment.
Yes, next time you're watching a television show or a movie or something and you can't watch it because something bad happens, you remember what I told you, because it's going to happen.
Okay, I'll think of you, because I have had that feeling for sure. Good stuff. Adam Vingan from The Athletic joining us here. We will talk more on the other side. You'll hear from Ryan Tannehill before the show is over. And I'm trying to stall because, yes, I've had to figure out which one of my commercials I'm doing here, and it is Lone Pronto. So let me tell you what they've got going. You know, a lot of people are feeling the sting right now financially. Higher interest rates, higher costs, inflation, all of these things going on. So if you've got some credit card bills and other loans that are costing more and more and you find yourself feeling like you're sinking underwater, hey, your home can save you right now. Home values are up, and Lone Pronto wants you to know that they can access it. They can access the cash in your home, the home equity, and Lone Pronto can specialize in the zero-cost cash-out home refi. You can get tens of thousands of dollars in as little as 2 weeks, and you can pay off those high-interest credit cards. Be done with it. Boom. Get that number down to zero instead of 23%. Other loans, whatever the percent is, 16%, 18%. You can knock this out. And if your home mortgage rate goes up a point or so, it's offset by your credit card rate going down to zero. So call Lone Pronto now and look into this formula. Unlock that equity and wipe out bad debt. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.